I want to thank Chanan and David Begayer again for being mezaka us and us being mezaka them. There's some more Torah in the house. Let's continue on page Zion. Talking about taking care of our children and to have our priorities in the right place, to know what is it that Hashem wants of us in regard to our children these last few minutes before Mashiach comes. That's really what we're learning. So on page Zion, occasionally I'm going to skip a little bit, but for the most part we're going to follow the Seder here. So on page Zion, paragraph Vav, follow inside if you have, to look inside with somebody. This inyan of shmiras hayeladim, of watching the children, which we've already learned, is not just a question of knowing where they are, or that's part of it, and being worried about their gloves and their hats and scarves and the rest of the stuff that they need. But the shmiras hayeladim, meaning to preserve their kedusha, to preserve the holiness of the children. So he says, Shekamish and Iskarvim leMashiach Yoyser. The closer that we get to the days of Mashiach, Kacha Avoda Hazos Mischazekes Yosef Yosef. This Avoda, this work of Shmiras Hayeladim, of watching the children, of protecting and guarding the children, becomes more difficult and becomes more urgent. Anachnu Omdim Kvar Ma'od Karv Levias Mashiach. We're very close to the coming of Mashiach. As we see from all the signs that have been revealed to the tzaddikim and chazal, that the closer we get to Mashiach, the greater and the stronger is the achrayis, the responsibility, ha'ol, and the tremendous, the feeling of the overwhelming feeling of responsibility as far as our children is concerned, hashlichus, and the tafkid, the job that we received, that we have been assigned with from Hashem. Shebechol abchinas shahem hepach hakedusha yeshes garbus. Why is that? Why is it that as far as this responsibility of shmiras hayeladim, of watching the children, guarding the children, why is this more now than ever before Mashiach comes? Because in these last few moments before Mashiach, as he's going to explain, as we know, the flood of impurity that's in the world and the craziness that's in the world is not anything that our parents or grandparents had to contend with. They had to contend with different things, but not what our children have to grow up in. And because of that, the responsibility now, the main responsibility of parents, is shmiras hayeladim, is watching the children, protecting them. The Rechaim HaKadosh says that in Egypt, as you know, that the Jewish people fell into the 49th level of impurity. That means that we were one short of that horrible place of 50. If we would have fallen into the 50th gate of impurity, we wouldn't have been able to come out from Egypt. The Rechaim HaKadosh revealed that in our present galus, and he was talking about hundreds of years ago, certainly now we are already in the 50th gate of impurity. So how come we're still keeping Shabbos and we say Maidahani and we're trying our best? So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, because we have the Torah, thank God. In Egypt they didn't have the Torah, they didn't have a way out. You and I have, thank God, we have the Torah, we have a way out, but we're in the Shara Nun, we're in the 50th level of impurity. Rabbi Tzadik speaks a lot about this. What we see over and over again in the Svarim, and it comes from the Zohar Kaddish, is that there are generations from the beginning of time that are repeating themselves at the end of time. All of history is Maglev Tzedek, is a circle. And the beginnings are connected to the ends. And right now, we're at the end of history. And history, as I said, is not linear, it's circular. And at the end of history, we're meeting up again with the beginning of history. That's what the Zohar says, that the souls who will come into the world at the end of time were those who failed to live up to their responsibility during the generation of the flood. That means that you and I most likely we were among those of the generation of the flood, of the Mabul, and the door of Migdal Bavel, the tower of Bavel. That's now at the end, we're connected to the very beginning. And what does that mean? And how does that affect us? Hakavana b'zeh, hayitzarim, the yetzaharas, the things that the drives that are now in the world, hakoshim, the difficulties, hanisyonis, shaldor hamabul, yavo od pam lefnei bi'as haMashiach. All of the difficulties and all of the nisyonis, the tests of that first, of that generation from the beginning of time, the generation of the flood. All of that is going to return before Mashiach comes. And that is the meaning of being in the 50th gate, the 50th place of level of impurity. Told us Yaakov Yosef from Hamor 9, the Chernobyl, Chedushirim, Rabbi Nachman Breslov, and Mor Shemesh for Otz Sadikim. Each tzaddik explains it according to his way. Shekol inyin b'Torah kadosh hu limud nitzchi. Anything that you and I learn in Torah, it's forever. When we're reading now the parashiyos, we're reading the parasha of, for instance, this past Sunday. Today's a couple of days ago, I had the schus to speak in Connecticut to a couple of hundred psychologists and social workers on the subject of shidduchim. That's what they wanted to talk about. On the subject, a very, very special chashuv of people on the subject of shidduchim. And I'm sure that they were surprised. They wanted me to give some like up-to-date things that I might have read in some journal. But I don't read journals, and I don't know psychology. But I was trying to explain some things that are from the shidduch of Yitzchak and Rivka. And that first shidduch that we see in the Torah, that's the first shidduch that's described to us in the Torah. Many, many psukim, it's one of the longest sections in the entire Chumash, is devoted to all of the difficulties and the negotiations that led up to that marriage of Yitzchak and Rivka, which, by the way, is the most romantic relationship in the entire Tanakh. And what's most interesting is that Davka, a person like Yitzchak, who none of us would think, if you would stop on the street and say, which one of the Ovis would you think is most romantic? If we could use such a term by the Ovis, not meaning in any way that it's used in the Narishkeit nowadays, nobody would say Yitzchak. Yitzchak, everybody would say, oh, you know, very great, not my type. Very, very great. Yitzchak is pachid, Yitzchak is thin, we're afraid. And from there, Davka, from Yitzchak, you know, what an unbelievable shidduch, mate. What an unbelievable shidduch. What a koich of loving. It only by Yitzchak does it say that he was metzachek as ishto. No, by nobody else in Tanakh do we see such a thing. So, in order to...
says the best talk she's ever heard in her life is she's 51 years old.
Who said that?
My daughter.
Oh, well, she says that every talk she gets. That's sweet. If we want to know how are we supposed to manage with shidduchim nowadays? It's such crazy things. Somebody was saying at this conference, there was a therapist who was saying that she's having problems with shidduchim. People are complaining that they want to know whether in this family, there was a shidduch was broken off because they found out that the mother, the balabusta, that she put the chayin on the table in the jar instead of putting it in a nice little silver thing with a little dainty spoon. The shidduch was a shidduch. So I said, you know, you're joking, right? She said, absolutely not. This is something that happened, that the shidduch was off. So then you wonder, like, how do we contend with this? What do we do with this craziness? And what's going to be with our children? How do we, you know? All of this is, everything is in the Torah. We just have to learn Torah in the deepest way we can and to see what it says in the Svarim. Everything is there. Everything. From the beginning, there's not one word of Torah that's not filled with eternity. Every word is nitzchias till the end of time. So if we want to know what we're going through, since the Zohar says that we, at the end of time, are going to be the generation of the flood coming back and being given this final chance to bring, instead of a flood of water, but to bring to that day where it says in the Navi, Umol haaretz deyas Hashem, that the world be filled with awareness of God like the oceans that cover this, the waters that cover, the oceans that cover the world. So our responsibility is to change the flood waters into waters of knowledge. And we're living in this time, an amazing time. That's what the Zohar describes, the floodgates that were opened up at that time when the Vilna Gaon came to the world and the Baal Shem Tov came to the world, and secrets of Torah began to be revealed in the most accelerated way. It's amazing what we're living through, changes that we're living through. Even in technology and in science, a flood of unbelievable things that's coming into our lives. But with the flood of information and with the flood of technology and progress, and so on. There's a flood of Tumah, the likes of which have not been since the beginning of time. Ukamay, the last four lines on the right hand side. Ukamosha Bishar Shahaya Ha'inyin Shal HaMabul Harei Haya HaBachin Shal Tevas Noach. Now, there was one family that managed to make it through the flood. And that was, of course, Noach. And how did Noach manage? He had a teva. Him and his family lived on this amazing boat, which we've spoken about all over the years in Shul, in Parshas Noach. What that means, Tevas Noach. The word teva means a boat. It also means a word. In Hebrew, teva is like Rosh Tevas. The word teva means a word. It means davening, it means learning, it means Jewish words, it means words of kindness from one Jew to another. But more than anything, what the Tevas Noach it means is a protected place that floats above the craziness, that even though it's in the craziness, it's not affected or changed by it. That's what happened on the Tevas Noach, which he explains. Shehitzim mikol ha'inyonim shenachlolim b'inyon shel mabul. What we know in the Chumash, and that's what's repeating itself now, what we know is that somehow in that boat, whatever remained of civilization was able to be rescued. That's what we know. From all the effects of the Mabul, whoever was in that boat was saved. V'anachnu kulonu hayinu shah. And all of us, we're now in this last generation, all of us were in that boat. Hayinu shah v'kulonu nitzalnu mikoach ha-tevas noach. And we were saved with that boat. We, of course, are the descendants of Shem, and we therefore, all of our neshamas, together, we were there in that boat, and the neshamas of all of the future neshamas of the Jewish people were concentrated in that boat, and was somehow rescued from the flood. The kulanu nitzalnu mikoach ha-tevas noach, kach oso davar lefnei bias ha-mashiach. So it is before Mashiach comes. Kol bayis Yehudi, every Jewish home. Kol makom Torah, every yeshiva, every school, kol kita, every class, kol shir, kol kolel, kol makom Torah, who b'chinas tevas noach. That's what we have. We have a tevas noach. Our yeshivas, our homes, have to have all of the qualities, the protective, insulating qualities of the tevas noach, hopefully without the smell, but everything else should be there. Now you remember that the Torah tells us how Hashem repeatedly told Noah to make sure that the boat be properly tarred and covered and prepared outside and inside. It has to be insulated. And that also is going to be when little Moshe Rabbeinu, who contained within the entire future of the Jewish people, the Torah, when Moshe Rabbeinu was on his little boat also. How Moshe Rabbeinu had to be sent out into the waters, and Moshe Rabbeinu was saved also in a similar way. And when it says in the Torah, also mibayis or michutz, on the inside and the outside, what the tzaddik here, the Tzimei, is going to explain, as it says in the Svarim, mibayis or michutz, that we have to protect our children, our homes have to be, and our yeshivas, our schools have to be in such a way, where inside and out, there's protection, and we have to see what that means. Mibayis or michutz. There are things that are upsetting our children. There are things that might not seem to be upsetting them, but are upsetting their neshamas that are coming from outside, from the outside world, from the non-Jewish world, from the secular world that they're subjected to just because they're here and they're living in our times. And then there are things that are inside the world, even inside the house, when there are parents, Hashem Yirachem, parents who do not treat each other in a respectful way, in a loving way. I was just at a parlor meeting for a certain yeshiva where the head of the yeshiva read a letter from a boy that the boy wanted to be read at the parlor meeting, where this boy was living in a home with an abusive father, and he was the only witness to see his father kill his mother. And the mother, it's a religious, an Orthodox home, and the mother was the only person in his life, he said, who ever loved me. And in front of his eyes, his father killed his mother. And he's in this yeshiva. So here you have a situation, obviously it's very, very extreme, Hashem Yirachem, but a situation where a boy was raised in such a home where it wasn't the outside world that destroyed him, it was inside his own house. And therefore, Hashem warns Noach that the boat has to be covered outside and inside. It has to be It has to be carefully coated, outside and inside. It's not just a matter of protecting the children from the outside, and we worry about that, but to make sure that the inside of the home is a home where the children feel loved, and they feel that it's a place of warmth, and they feel the beauty of Torah. They feel that their parents' greatest nachas is that they should be learning and growing, and so on, as we're going to continue and see much more as we move through the countries. Let's continue in paragraph 7. Zion. Hashem has brought Tziva l'Noach sheyivnes ha-teva. So Hashem commanded Noach to build this boat. V'yizgar heitev es ha-teva. And also, it's interesting that Hashem warns Noach, but also Hashem warns him over and over, make sure to close it and shut it very tight. As if somebody who's going through a marble would not know that he has to close the door. You know, honey, shut the windows, please. This is the marble. This is not a drizzle. So Hashem is Baruch says over and over, close it, shut it, lock it, cover it, over and over. Yizgur v'yikadish v'yitayir sateva b'hiruri tshuva. You know what that means? That means that Hashem is telling us, here we are again, the generation of the flood, a different kind of flood. And Hashem is telling us to close our little world, to surround our world, and to purify our world. B'hiruri tshuva, with real thoughts of returning to Hashem. V'yidezeh yanivne ha-hagona ha-hatzola ha-oris ha-makifim. And with this we can build what will protect and rescue and save. What's called in the terminology of Hasidus and Kabbalah, Oros Hamakifin, surrounding lights. We're not going to go into that, this is not a class for that, but everybody knows that there are certain mitzvahs that are surrounding type of mitzvahs. They're more embracing mitzvahs. For instance, we were talking before about Shidduchim. A chuppah. A chuppah is a surrounding, the marriage is a surrounding mitzvah. By Sfadim and by German Jews, they put the talis over the chasen kala, right? Mamish on them. They put the talis by the Sfadim and by the Germans, German Jews, they're surrounded in the talis. The mitzvah of wearing the talis is also a makif. It's a surrounding, hugging, embracing mitzvah. The kala walking around the chasen, all of that is to create a wall, to create an aris makif, and it's called surrounding lights, which in Kabbalah is a very big thing of how Hashem made the world. That's not for now, but it's called aris makif. The sukkah is a makif. The sukkah surrounds you. The schach means covering. You're surrounded with that. When Hashem gave the Torah, He held a mountain over our heads. There is an aspect of Torah that's surrounding, embracing. The sukkah is a makif. The lulav, however, is called an inner light, an or pnimi. Right, the talus is surrounding, the tefillin is inside. The lulav, according to Rabbi Yisrael, where do you bench lulav? You bench lulav in the sukkah. Right? I mean, it's fine to bench someplace else, but according to the Ari, you should bench lulav in the sukkah if you can. Why? Because then you have a connection between the surrounding light and the filling light. Even the ring that's placed on the finger of the kala, the ring is a surrounding light, and the finger is an inner light. And all of these things between makifin and pnimian, surrounding all worlds and filling all worlds, is a very big inyan in this farm. For us, it's not important right now to go into that. However, the Tevas Noach, this boat of Noach, and every Jewish home, which is modeled after the Tevas Noach, every Jewish home is certainly a surrounding light. What we know about surrounding Oros Makifin is that they have the unique ability to isolate, to protect, to purify, and so on. So the teva haya also b'chinas kedusha shel hamikdash. We know from the Zohar and the other svarim that the teva of Noah was holy like the Beis Hamikdash, which of course is also a surrounding light. The Jewish people enter into that amazing place called the Beis Hamikdash, which surrounds us in holiness. Umishkan v'anane kavod, the clouds of Hashem's glory in the desert also. Of course, after which we have the sukkah, surrounding lights. Kedusha shel sukkah shel tzitzis, at the talis that's worn, the surrounding light. Shel arei hamiklat, when you have a person who accidentally killed someone, he runs to the ir miklat, he runs to the city of refuge. That doesn't only mean physically someone who has killed someone, and even though right now we don't go to the ir miklat, But it means that Hashem provides a refuge. As we see that David HaMelech always spoke about Hashem is Gabi, Hashem is my place of refuge. Hashem is my place to hide. I hide in Hashem. I hide within Hashem's embrace. So too, there's a city of refuge, which means that no matter what a Jew has done, he could return to Hashem and he could find a hiding place in Hashem. Yastireinu b'seiser ohalo. Hashem covers me and hides me in his tent. U'kmeshakosav mi'harizal. Shekol zeh hem b'chino shel oris hamekifim. All of these are in the category of oris hamekifim. V'oris hamekifim b'chinas yiduus hem ha'oris sheyesh lam hazakoach hagadol b'yoser v'atzil mi'abchinas hakoshos b'yoser shel mabul. We know that dafka those mitzvahs, those aspects of our lives that are called mekifin or mekifos, surrounding, they have the greatest power, the greatest ability to save us from the dangers of the mabul, of the flood. Shel bilbul. Mabul, of course, is from the word bilbul, confusion, which is also the Migdal Bavel, the Tower of Bavel. Also, the word bilbul, which means bewilderment and confusion. The word mabul, as Rashi says in Chumash, is also the word levalos, mevale es hakol. It erodes everything. It erodes. It wastes away. Think of the values that we had, that we heard of 20, 30, 40 years ago, and the values that are now, that are in the world, the erosion that's taken place in this last generation of the flood. The erosion of things that people took for granted, that now every day in the newspaper there's actually one of the states of the union voted that there could be people marrying each other of the same gender, which is a pachad, which, as you know, was something that took place in the generation of the flood. It's a pachad. It's something, if you think about, it's better not to, but the realization that this is taking place, and it's not very hard for us to want to believe when the Zohar says that it's the generation of the flood happening again, because that kind of craziness, that kind of lunacy, and that type of perversion is something that goes back to the period of the Bilbul, of the flood, when there's a confusion of what is it, what's a family, Bichlal, and you want to go out in the street and scream, are you all crazy? And people talk about this like it's a normal thing, where any decent human being 20 years ago, I'm not talking about a Jew. A decent human being. What if a few years ago said that this can never, ever, ever be? And it can, because it once was. And it's not finished. There's just, now it's we see that it's moving towards, as we get closer to Mashiach, the bilbul, the mabul, the bilui, the erosion of everything that was holy, that was real, that our parents and grandparents took for granted, is being destroyed. And our children are growing up in such confusion. If you look at the children's books, I've mentioned this very often in Shiurim, the children's books, the typical children's books, the nice books, any book that is 3, 4, 5 years old, as opposed to the ones, you know, the old ones. And you look at the erosion of values, the meaninglessness of the family in the books. You follow what's happening in Disney, even in Disney, which has always been the most wholesome in America, right? The most wholesome way to have fun and entertainment in America has always been Disney. If you think about what's been coming out from that place, and the emptiness, and a world without parents, a world without structure, a world without family, it's a pachad. And the children are feeling less and less protected. They're feeling more and more vulnerable. And the tevas noach that is necessary, the boat, the oris makifin, the hugs, the talus, the chuppah, right? The sukkah. All of that which children must have. As adults, it's very difficult for us to live without it. Could you imagine that as far as children are concerned, it's almost impossible. There are homes where children are embraced. It doesn't have to just mean physically with hugs. Of course, that's necessary, but with words. I had a conversation with a couple the other day, not from here, but I was talking to a couple that the wife said, they were sitting in front of me, the wife said, so I said, what's, you know, like he starts everything okay, but you know that it's not, because otherwise they wouldn't be visiting. So unless he has to tell about some simcha or something. So she said, no, my husband really doesn't talk to me. So I looked at him and I said, is that true? So he said, you know, he looked very hurt. He had that like horrible hurt look, and he went back a little bit and he looked at her, and he said, just yesterday, last night, we spoke for like an hour and a half. You know, we were talking about this kid and that kid, and about Yossi and Beryl and Shmerel and Chana Rivka Leia, and you know, whatever. We were talking about all the different things, and about school, and about, we're talking about. So I said, I don't think that's what she meant. I don't think that's what she meant. I mean, she's saying, she knows that you had a conversation last night, but the words were not makifim. They were not surrounding words. They were not embracing words. There's no intimacy. When your wife is saying that my husband is not talking to me, she didn't say that you didn't tell her that you got a parking ticket during the day. But she was saying that there wasn't a word that was an embracing word. And the children that grow up in a house where there's no makifim, where there's a lack of embraces, words, and in every other respect, when children grow up like that, they're growing up in a world that's a mabul mamish, and they're desperately in need of a teves noach in order to make it through the bilbul. So that's what he's explaining. Therefore, the tzaddikim have taught that every single Jewish home before Mashiach comes, and every yeshiva, kol bayis yehudi kodem bias haMashiach, yesh lo tzad kedusha shel teves Noach, has the holiness of the boat of Noach, shel beis hamikdash. When you walk into the house, you have to be walking into a place that's a beis hamikdash, mamish. I know it sounds like it's that's a nice thing to say. It doesn't mean it's a nice thing to say. It's not the literature that a Jewish home nowadays can't afford to be anything less than a Beis HaMikdash. And a Beis HaMikdash is not established by having a nice china cabinet with a lot of bechers, you know, silver bechers, and a big menorah. That's not how you make a Beis HaMikdash in the house. It's what happens in that house, how people speak to each other in the house. What do people do when they have time off and they're relaxing in the house? How is the phone being used in the house? What kind of conversations? Shabbos is Teves Noach, of course we spoke about many times. That's why Noach means Menucha. Noach means Shabbos, as it says in the Zohar. Noach Leil, Noach Losat, Shabbos. Noach is Noach Matzah Boma Noach. Yonah Matzah Boma Noach. Shabbos means that the whole week the children are out in the world, and nowadays many of the wives are out, and the husbands are out, and then they have this one day where they can come back into the Teves Noach. And if not for that Teves Noach, if not for that boat, their mamash can't survive. They might look like they're surviving, but their values are being slowly eaten away. The kedushas you saw, the holiness is being eaten away, is slowly eroding, and they don't even realize it. They don't realize it. Shal shchina shui b'nehem. What does that mean? That's of course referring to a husband and wife, which Chazal say that zochu, if the husband and wife are relating to each other in the way that they're supposed to, then the shchina, the divine presence, dwells between them. So that's a house of the indwelling of the Shekhinah, where a husband and wife talk to each other lovingly. And when the children come home, because the children feel so often outside the house, they're unbelievably vulnerable and they're frightened. And what they need more than anything is to be able to come into a place where they feel secure and they feel this is a Beis HaMikdash. There was a 14-year-old boy that I was talking to recently that said that he hears his parents fighting so much, and that the other day he heard them talking about getting divorced, and he didn't tell this to anybody, and they thought he was sleeping, and he was crying. I didn't know what to do with him. He was just crying and crying and crying. That's the falling apart of his entire world. It's true that sometimes Hashem Yirachim, that's part of the flood that we're in with marriages, what's going on. It's true, but the children are Rahmanas, and when that has to happen, sometimes it happens. Sometimes people make wrong choices, or at the time it seemed like it was the right choice, but later on it turned out not to be. For that time maybe it was, now it no longer is. And Hashem gave a parish in the Torah of divorce. But under those circumstances, all of this is squared 10 times to try to be able to create for those children who have to be in a home where there is, unfortunately, where there is sadness and separation, how to give the children still a feeling of security and of being in a teves noach, and that should be, and that if there are any disagreements between a husband and wife, how the children should be kept away from that. And don't think that when you're shushking in the room and the kids are 10 feet away behind the door, and just because it's 1 o'clock in the morning, don't think that the kids don't know what's going on. A klal, the kids know everything. Just about everything the kids know. And the kids also pick up on parents, when a husband and wife, when the shechina is not between them. When they're not living together in a way of holiness, the children understand it. And even though they might not understand it intellectually, then the neshamas know when their parents are not living together in the right way. When it's not b'kedusha, and when they don't respect each other, chas v'shalom, the children know all of that. And it causes them a very, very deep fear and a very deep pain. They're stuck in the marble, and the only place they were able to trust that they could be protected from the marble is in the house. And they're not finding that. The yeshiva is supposed to be part of that too. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. It depends. Ukra dibarnu, bepanim hakodmos. We've discussed this earlier. Shekosu mechazal hakadoshim etzadikim bekava yoshev yisayyos v'ot tzadikim. It says in the Svarim, shekol mokim shalomdim shom yalomdim ve'yalodim. Any place where children are being taught, Bachrim, where they're learning with boys, Tinokish or Besrab, and the little children, Yeshulze Kedusha is Beis HaMikdash. That yeshiva, that school has the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. Kedusha is Ashkina, Kedusha is Dal Amashal Halacha, the holiness of the four cubits of Torah. Ubatsam Kol Makam Torah Zakach. The truth is, every Makam Torah is like that. Aval Befrat, Ubehevel Pesh Ein Bochay. But especially with little children. Because the little children, their Torah is without sin. That's why we spoke about this in the past, that whenever there have been, God forbid, tzaras for Klal Yisrael, that it reminds me that the learning tonight should be to the Mezakeh the Chayla, Moshe Dov Ben Bina, they should refer Shalem Sashar Chayla Yisrael. That whenever there's tzaras within Klal Yisrael, so the children are gathered together, so Tehillim and Tefillahs, and so on. So, why? Because children are sinless. The b'chinas kruvim. They're like the two angels in the Beis HaMikdash. Pnei Ravya, kruvim, the Gemara says, they're called kruvim because they had the faces of children. Those two angels by the Kodesh Kodashim, they had the faces of children. Zel Kodesh Kodashim. That means that anywhere where there are little children, it's the Holy of Holies. That's what it means. Wherever there are little children, it's the Holy of Holies. Zel HaLifnai V'Lifnim. That's the lifnai v'lifnim. When you have little children, even though you could be someplace far away from Yerushalayim, wherever there are little Jewish children, you should know that you are mamish lifnai v'lifnim. You are in the place of the Beis HaMikdash. You are in the Kodesh HaKadoshim mamish. Hayikar mipninim, more precious than pearls. Zeh mamish page ches. Zeh mamish kedushas Beis HaMikdash or kedushas hateva. Bring you together with children. Again, it's with all children. And Bechlau, wherever Jews are, but particularly little children, but all children. It has the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. It has the Kedusha, the holiness of the Teva. Bayis Yehudi, Makam Torah. A Jewish home, a place of Torah, where they're learning Torah. Yeshul is a Kedusha Shal HaTeva. And because it has the Kedusha of the boat of Noach, the Teva's Noach, L'zeh Yesh Koach L'Hatzil U'L'Hagein, Bebchinas Ufros Aleinu Sukas Shlomecha. That house and that yeshiva, that classroom, has the koach, really the only koach, to save and to protect our children. As we say in the davening, Ufros Aleinu Sukas Shlomecha. We ask Hashem to spread over us the sukkah of peace, that it should be in Yerushalayim. Right? Ufros Aleinu Sukas Rachman Chaim. Hapray Sukkah Shom Aleinu Akol Amo Yisrael Va'al Yerushalayim. That we ask all the time that Hashem's Baruch should put us back in His sukkah. Harachman hu yakim lanu with sukkas David hanofelas. That to protect us again with the sukkas David hanofelas. So every Jewish home is now a kodesh kadoshim. You know, I'll tell you an interesting thing. There's something else here. It said in the parasha. It said Yitzchak bami boro be'er l'chai roi. It says that Yitzchak returned to the place of the be'er l'chai roi. Yitzchak avinu. So it's an interesting thing there. It says why this Sforno discusses why does the Torah have to tell us that he went back to that place that's called Be'er L'chai Ro'i. Why did he go back there? So if you have a chance to look in the Sforno, Sforno says a beautiful thing. He said that he wanted to go back to the place where Hagar had davened. Now, what was that place? So Sforno says that in that place, Hagar had screamed and cried that Hashem Yisbok should have Rachmanis on Yishmael. And Yishmael is not from the finest, right? He certainly would rate nowadays as a child at risk, a boy at risk, yeah? Even though according to Chazal, he did tshuv at the end, certainly all of these children will for sure come back. But Yishmael was not from the finest children. But that's a place where there was a mother that didn't give up, and she was crying. She didn't know what to do. I mean, she gave up because she didn't know what to do, but she was crying bitter tears. And in that place, so could you imagine? Yitzchak, the Sforno says that Yitzchak wanted to go daven there. He wanted to go back to that place to daven because he felt it was a holy place where there was a mother who cried. But that's a holy place. That's what Sforno says. And I was thinking, can you imagine that? What does that mean? That there's nothing that Hashem listens to more than a father or a mother who's crying, who's worried about a child. Not just worried, I'm not talking about being worried whether he's going to have a 1200 in his SAT or a 1280 in his SAT. All Jewish children should be maslich and whatever they do. But I'm not talking about those kind of tears. But the tears of parents who daven that their children should go in the right way. I don't remember once in my house, my mother taking her hands off her eyes by candlelighting, and not her face not being wet. I don't remember once. And how long she stood there. You know, we had to go to shul again. My mother was standing there for such a long time. And she still does, and she still eats one of the children and the grandchildren. And tears. Oh, my mother was a whole thing. And my mother didn't go to yeshiva. The base medrash that she studied in was in Auschwitz. She never went to a yeshiva. But those tefillahs of a mother by the candles, look, I tell you, I'm sure you've learned, you've read, you've heard, you've seen, you've had mothers like mine. They should all be well. All of our mothers should be healthy and well. But those tefillahs when a mother lights candles, what the mothers are toil, it's the holiest time of the week. It's standing in the base of Mikdash Mamish on Yom Kippur. Lishma. When you're saying those tefillahs. Yitzchak Avinu went back, he wanted to daven in that place, he felt this is a holy spot. He wanted to go back to the place where Hagar davened for Yishmael. And Hagar was crying, and the mother was crying, because she was worried, what's going to be with my child, what's going to be. And how much a mother could be poiled, not only for her own children, how much she could help other Jewish children. And then when you light candles Friday night, to daven so strong, that even though we might be fortunate, those of us, thank God, who have children, that we're fortunate that our children, that we know where they are, and that they're home, and they're healthy, and they're okay. And how many parents now, they don't know where their children are. And how many parents, I mentioned, I was talking, I had a conversation with my mother. My mother was very upset about American soldiers being in Iraq. That they're there, and that they're away from their homes. So she throws that in also, to a candlelighting. To help them out too, and for those mothers who don't know how to daven, or don't know what davening is, there's so many homes that are broken, and gashmis and ruchmis, and children that are away from the parents, and that are away from holiness. And when a Jewish mother cries for her children, not only to cry for her own children, but for all of us as well's children, there's so many children that have drifted away from their homes. You know how much you could accomplish. There's nothing as great as the tefillahs of a mother. And every Jewish mother is a mother of all Jews. Every Jewish mother is a mother of all Jews. That's not just your own children. It's every Jewish child is your child. And you know that, because anytime something, God forbid, ever happens to any Jewish child, every one of you is a mother to that child. Men don't have that kayach that a woman has. Chava is the aim kol chai, right? Adam was not called the av kol chai. Only Chava was called the mother of all life. Adam wasn't called the father of all life. So that's a kayach that a woman has, that a Jewish mother has. How many tefillahs, and to cry, and to be old fashioned, and not to think about any of the narishkeit when you're lighting candles. even to put on a thing that looked like your grandmother or the grandmother's wore, to put on a shmata, and to go and to bench lift and to light candles the way that our grandmothers lit candles with the Baruch Shalom, that there's nothing that can be piled big yeshuas that could bring more salvation to Jews than Jewish mothers who are crying over Jews. It's a Kodesh Kadosh Mamish. It's the holiest time of the week. It's like you're standing a Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash. So a person has to have Yishev HaDas, because you know how badly the Satan comes to take away that moment, right? You know that this one lost this, and this one's screaming that, and what's happened? It's such a time of craziness, no matter when Shabbos comes out. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? Whether Shabbos is at 7:30 or Shabbos is at 4 o'clock. It makes no difference. Those last moments before candlelighting, is the marble is very, very strong. Very strong right before candlelighting. And Hashem Baruch is saying to each and every one of you, Heilige Yiddish Tachtun, precious daughters of Israel, don't let this marble confuse you. Don't be confused. You now are entering the Beis HaMikdash. Everything's quiet, doesn't make a difference. It'll be okay, even though something is not 100% in place, and even though this is not the way it's supposed to be, it's still going to be okay. But not to, God forbid, get upset, not to get angry, not to raise your voice, not to lose that moment of Yishev HaDas that you have candlelighting. That's the most precious time of the week. And the Eitz Sahar, the Satan, does anything possible to take away candlelighting. Not actually lighting candles, everybody lights candles, but to take away the presence of mind and a certain peacefulness. And to have a certain quiet, that you should be able to say good feelers, and you should be able to concentrate, and you should be able to, the children should be able to feel that it's a very special and warm time in their lives, that they should be able to think back 70, 80, 90 years from now, and to remember, wow, how my mother lit candles. That's something that children live with their entire lives. And the same way that it says that by Yosef HaTzadik, when he was in trouble, what happened when he was being tempted, he saw the image of his father. So that's, you see what our children need in their lives, is to be able, when they go through difficult times, to see the image of their parents. And to be able to be brought back, and to be able, no matter where they go, to see that image. So you have to ask yourself, what are my children going to see 50, 60 years from now? Are they going to see me like, you know, being all angry and upset? Are they going to see me like falling asleep with the remote control falling out of my hands, you know, and like, you know, like... And like some potato chips tipping over. What are they going to remember? Like, what are the images? What are the images that are going to be in our children's eyes and their minds 50, 60 years from now? Or 10 years from now? When they're someplace and they need something to pull them out. They need a Tevas Noach. Each and every one of us is Mamash a Tevas Noach for our children. We have to pull them out. They're going to, if they're living, this is good, but when they go away from the house and they're on their own, and we're not there to follow them around. And they have to make decisions, and they're going to be difficulties for them. They're going to be tempted by many, many things. What are they going to remember? What's going to pull them out of that time? Only the image of Yaakov Avinu, only the image of a father and a mother. Those memories and those thoughts of my parents, that they're Jews, that the Jews who are committed to holiness, and that I come from a place as a Tevas Noach, and therefore it wouldn't become a person who comes from such a Beis HaMikdash to go into a place like this. I don't belong in this place. I shouldn't go into this place. It's not for a person. Not for someone who comes from a Beis HaMikdash. But if the house itself is not a Tevas Noach, if the house, Chas V'Shalom, is itself a place where there are no walls and no boundaries, and if the house is a place where there's, God forbid, confusion, so that when the children go out into the world, they don't have that point of reference. They don't have that Tevas Noach to return to in their minds and their hearts. And then they become very, very vulnerable to all the crazy things that are out there. The children who have a strong Tevas Noach, anywhere they go in the world, they'll be okay. Anywhere in the world, they'll be okay. Those who do not have a Tevas Noach, you could put them in the most super-duper deluxe yeshiva program and dress them up like the biggest Beis Yaakov girl and biggest, you know, brisker, whatever you want in the world. You could put on the entire outfit. But if the Tevas Noach is not a Tevas Noach, it's gunishness helfen. It's not going to help. It'll be okay, like for a while when they're little, you know, whatever, look okay. They have the right uniform and everything looks okay. But when they're out in the world and they have to find themselves, that's not going to be a Tevas Noach. When they think back on their parents, they have to remember their parents speaking to each other in a loving way. They have to remember a house that was free of tumah, free of all the impurities that are in the streets nowadays. They know that this is my house, is a place where I have a point of reference for holiness, for pureness. That's what they have to remember when they think of their parents. So the same way that the cities of refuge, in the time of the Torah, we had cities of refuge. So now every Jewish house has to be an Ir Miklat, has to be a city of refuge, that no matter what goes on. I still can remember the feeling that I always had, the feeling that I had when I was a little kid. I mean, it's already a while ago. The feeling of when the school bus would come around the corner and I would come to my block. I mean, it was a special feeling that I really remember living for every single day. I would never tell that to my parents, you know, but I remember that, and I remember my mother always by the window and standing there and looking, and that coming back. You know, I was a regular kid with all the guys and had a good time, and we all made like we didn't care about anything, you know. The regular stuff that kids do, like we don't care. Mother, oh, you have a mother? You know, who cares? Yeah, my mom, she's always on my case. You know, except we didn't have that term, that case, but, you know, we had the kids, the way kids were always, oh, yeah, but I challenged to come, though. When that bus came around the corner, especially if I had a dirty look from the teacher that day, or especially if the teacher caught me without my homework and I got an angry word, especially if I had to go into the principal's office, then I just was waiting, counting the minutes to get onto the block and to be able to come to the house and to see that familiar face. And my mother didn't have to say anything, although she always did, and the kisses and the hugs. Just to be able to be there. That was the Teves Noach that all of us need so much. And nowadays it's becoming harder. How many of the children are coming home and no one's to blame? There are difficulties, and sometimes we create our own difficulties. Many of the mothers are not home when the children come home. So what does that mean if every day a child comes home to a stranger? You have people that they talk about their help, like, you know, oh, she's just as good as a mother. There's no such thing. I heard somebody once tell that to me. I said, you know, you have somebody in the house, and this mother's never home. She just comes home like at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. And the children are always being greeted by this person. So he says, well, she's like a second mother to them. And I was very, very taken aback by such a comment. Not to say that she's not a wonderful person, but that's just a delusion. And it's said that there are intelligent Jewish mothers and fathers who actually believe that there's somehow a way to replace a mother being at the door when the children come home. How important it is for the children that their mother should be there when they come home. It's not always possible. Because the difficulties, there's so many pressures. Nowadays, there's so many pressures with the parnasa. It's so hard. And just to be able to send the kids to yeshiva, you have to be like a gvir. You have to be rich to send a kid to yeshiva. And there's so many challenges nowadays. But then, for those people who it is possible to be home, and the children do not have that when they come home, because the mother is, you know, the mother's in the mall, or the mother's at the face, at the exercise or the aerobics, all those good things that I certainly know that everybody deserves and everybody needs, right? There's a good friend of ours that she also is very, very big on exercising. She's a very close friend of my wife's. She walks on the boardwalk in Atlantic Beach, but at 6 o'clock in the morning, not on the children's chashuva. She has the same hour exercise, but she pushes herself to get up at 5:30 in the morning because she doesn't want it to be on their chashuva. There are people who can do that. No, everybody has different situations. And please don't interpret anything that I'm saying ever, ever as being a way of criticism. I have the deepest respect for parents. And I'm struggling myself just to try to be, you know, to be as good as I can. But really, we have to think of what it means. And we shouldn't take it for granted that the children need to be able to wake up with their parents, to go to sleep, and to see the mother, to come home if possible, to come home from school, to have the mother there. If possible, it's such an important thing. Obviously, the person has to be at work, but those times that you don't have to be at work, you don't have to be away, and it's just a question of, you know, you're being someplace else. It's chaval, because every single time you're there, even though it seems like nothing, it seems like your kid couldn't care, and after all, the girl that's there or whoever greets them or the siblings, they're fine. Everything is fine. It's not the same. It's just the Yetzer Hara that tells you that it's the same. It is not the same. It never can be the same. Nothing can ever replace the presence of a mother. There's no such thing. And it's not just, God forbid, when a Jewish woman dies, that everybody stands there crying and making speeches about Gewalt, Gewalt, what's going to be, there's no mother. We have to think like that every single moment of our lives. That there has to be a mother. That everything that the child needs in life is is from that feeling of attachment to the mother. Every single thing that that kid is going to be has to do with that feeling of security, of knowing that the mother's there for them. And there's nothing that's more important. You know, even I would even take the risk of saying, even if it means living someplace that's more affordable, but just that the mother should be able to be there. Even if it means doing without certain vacations or certain times away, even though everybody deserves it. Everybody deserves it. Nowadays you have situations, it's such a common thing. I was talking about this a lot in the summer for the Chevrot. You have that there are parents that they leave their kids for 2-3 weeks, a year, a month, a year. They leave with the grandparents. Kaidim Kol. All right, thank God the grandparents now are younger than they ever used to be. Baruch Hashem, we're living at a time, they're young grandparents. I never knew that there was such a thing growing up, that there was such a thing as Jewish grandparents at all. I thought only Goyim had grandparents. I never really, in my friends, in our little circle, I never knew there was such a thing as Jewish grandparents who are, you know, in this world. But there are young grandparents, but there are still, it's still, if you think about it, be'emes, chever. I mean, I know it doesn't sound nice to say, and it's not by criticism. You have parents that because they have difficulties and challenges, that they'll leave children with elderly grandparents, or even if they're not old, but they certainly deserve a little menucha, you know. And you'll have parents that leave families for weeks, a year, with grandparents to give baths and to take care of and to dress and to take, because they feel overwhelmed, so they give to the and of course they say my parents, meaning the grandparents, they enjoy that. That's always the code word for my enjoyment is more important, so I'm going to actually believe that a 60-year-old woman or a 70-year-old woman enjoys bending down and cleaning up a baby. I mean, is that the most ridiculous thing you ever heard? But you know, the SR is so big that you could actually make up these crazy stories. And because our parents are such tzaddikim, they are unbelievable, all the parents, the tzaddikim tzaddikim, and we do it, and we'll do it, Mr. Shem, lovingly. But that's not the way the Baruch Shalom wants it. I mean, certainly if you have to leave the children, it should be with grandparents. That's for sure. But it's not the way the Baruch Shalom wants. It's not the Ratzon of Hashem that we should do such a thing occasionally. But this whole thing, like, I got to get away. You got to get away. You want to get married. You have kids. This is what it's about, you know. Too bad. You want to get away. So you're not going to get away. I mean, you do what you have to do. But the whole thing about like disappearing and leaving children for weeks on end during the year, there are people that leave for 2-3 weeks over the course of a year, an entire month. And that's besides that the children go to camp, and camp is a good thing for them, and it's a very good thing for them. Because children need to be a little bit outside, and it's good for them with the friends. There are a lot of good things about camp. There are a lot of things about camp that really need some adjustments, but it's a good thing. But they need to have as much as possible to be with their families. The kol neshama neshama. Let's just read a little bit more. The kol neshama neshama. You're probably very angry. I'm saying things I shouldn't say. I mean, not that they're not true. It's just maybe I shouldn't be saying it. So you please don't take it personally, because I don't really know what anybody does. It's just I just you know, there's an inyan like this that's taking place. So that's what I'm saying. The kol neshama neshama shavinu shebishamayim shaleach l'toich hateva hazu. Every single neshama that Hashem Yisbarach sends into this boat, into this house. Kol yelet, every child, kol neshama, nichtav lamala be'ez ha-tevo yikanes. He has his address, we learned this before. That little kid, before he came to the world, got an address, which boat to go to. Which boat, which is your teva? This is your teva. And here's the captain. Nice to meet you. Right? And here's the, I don't know what, the maitre d', I don't know what, everybody's here. We're here to serve you. Welcome on board. Right, everybody, and the kids are sent exactly. Every kid is sent with that to that teva, to his particular boat. The b'chinas bo ata v'kol beisecha or kol beischa lateva. Like the Baruch Shem said to Noah, come with the entire family into the teva. Hashem invited. Come. So that means that every single child is guided and is directed and is sent specifically into that teva, into that boat. This is not just for them. This is a commandment for all time. Like we said before, that everything in the Torah is forever. So too, this is a commandment for all time that Hashem is telling us. What? Hashem is commanding us, the same way He told Noah, go into the Teva, there's a flood. Hashem is commanding us as parents to bring our children to the Teva. the Heinu Lahachnis Velizgos Abayshal, and to close the doors, shut the windows, tar it on the inside and the outside, from all things. To close up the teva, to protect the teva. What an unbelievable mitzvah that we have nowadays. To close the windows and to shut the doors, to turn off the telephones, to turn off. There was a kid that was telling me that he was sitting in the house and he had for 3 hours, he was trying to talk to his father about something in school. And his father kept on getting distracted. You know, it didn't work out. He couldn't get a sentence in the kid. So you know what he did? He went to his room and he called his father on the cell phone. Father picked up the cell. He didn't even know that the kid wasn't there. He picked up the cell. Hello? Hey, hi, Daddy. What are you doing? So I thought maybe I could talk to you this way, because I see when someone calls in the cell phone, you give him 5 minutes. I can't get a minute from you. So the kid told me this. He called his father on the cell phone. It's a chutzpah, but the kid was desperate. No, Hashem's Baruch should protect us, that our children shouldn't see such a thing, or shouldn't feel that way. That in order to get our attention, they could see a mother on the phone for an hour and a half, helping everybody in the world with their problems. You know what? It makes no difference. All the friends in the world, I know it sounds terrible. You close the doors, you lock the windows, you shut up the phones, you unplug everything. That's what we have to do. We can't always do it. But the children have to know that when it comes down to it, we're prepared to do it, and sometimes we do it. But they should feel that there's nothing else, there's no one else in the world that exists, at least for this time. Only us. It used to be that when you came into a house, when I was growing up, if the phone rang like twice, you know, at night, if the phone rang, you know, it was, you know, Cousin Henu, you know. Like, what was it? When did the phone ring? When one of us, my sister and I, when we were away, we used to call every couple of hours, you know, to check in. Other than that, when did the phone ring, Bichlal? I don't even think it was twice. I don't remember it really ringing at night. They didn't have a thing like that, you know, to call each other. Bichlal, it wasn't, as you know, from that world, it wasn't like this thing with blabbering and schmoozing on the phone. They really weren't into it. But I don't remember that. But you have kids nowadays that they could watch a mother, and the mother's busy all the time, like coaching and helping and this and that, and strategies with friends and with their problems and their inyanim. And the kids are going to shmoozing. So they had what? So then those that have televisions, so the television will be the child's friend. So you say, take the kid and prop in front of the television, and at least the nice lady, the nice lady on the television, she says something to you. She talks to me a little bit. That's the companionship. Or they say by the garden that like a dog is a person's best friend. It's not a Rachmanis. It's the biggest Rachmanis in the world. How can it be? A dog is someone's friend. But you have children that surround themselves with living dogs, and they surround themselves with stuffed animals, and the mother's on the phone for 4 hours. The father doesn't get home from work until 1 a.m. So who's his best friend? Who's the best friend? No, Snoopy or something, right? You know, some dog on the That's where we're living. We're living in a crazy time. So just another 2 minutes. The same way as we learn when the child comes into cheder, when he comes into school, we put the talis like we learned last time. You surround the kid, the little boy, you take him for the first time to cheder, you wrap him in a talis. In a kedusha shel havelos asuru, what's the talis? The tzitzis reminds you, like we say in Shema, don't let your eyes wander. We wrap the talis around the child, that the child shouldn't see the first trip to cheder. The little boy shouldn't see anything, just the talis in his eyes. That what we're saying is, Hashem, help my child that his eyes should never ever look in the wrong place. He should only see good things. That his eyes should be surrounded with the surrounding lights. With the kedusha of being holy, like we say in Shema by the parsha of Tzitzis. I am Hashem who took you out of Egypt. I took you out of Egypt. I took you out of all those places that are disgusting, and I brought you to me. Egypt was the opposite of pureness. This is the only way that we could save our kids. Before Mashiach comes to save them, it says in the Navi that when Mashiach comes, we're going to have wonders that like we saw when we left Egypt, and this is what we have to do now. We have to protect our children. Shiyah matzav b'chinishal nun plaos. Niflos means from the word nun, 50 plaos wonders. What's the greatest wonder of all? Niflaos. The word nifla. A wonder is nun 50 pella, wonder, which means the greatest wonder of all, and Hashem's going to show us this when Mashiach comes, is how we were able to raise holy Jewish children even though we lived in the 50th place of impurity. There was no greater wonder. All the earlier tzaddikim were going to be astounded with the greatness of our generation, that we raised children to be holy, even though they were living during the Mabul. Hashem is showing us now amazing, wondrous things before Mashiach comes. Even though in the entire world is a crazy, crazy flood, the world is totally meshuga. That still we have the ability, even though it's so crazy, it's much more difficult now than ever before, we have the ability to wrap our children and to close them up in that world of the tzitzis, of the talus, of the teva, of the boat. Lizgeres atzmo, to shut close the doors of the teva from the flood. Even if the child is thrown from one end of the world to the other, like the four kanfas of the talus. Like it says before Mashiach comes, it says in the Navi Necha that we're like crawling in the dirt. There's a way still. Tzitzis is the tzitzis of the clothing, and it's also the curls of the hair are called tzitzis. And it says that Hashem will pull us out by our hair from all types of impurity. So that's the meaning of pulling, like by pulling by the tzitzis, means that we have the ability, even though it's a crazy world, to grab hold of our kids and to keep them with us, that they shouldn't, chas v'shalom, drown in the flood. It's a koach shel hatzala, kach maschil hayeled atuf betalus. That's how the child begins his life in cheder, by coming to cheder, wrapped in the talus. Okay, Mr. Shem, we'll continue next time.